Good morning, Boker Tov to all. With a wish and a tefillah for Besoros Tovos, it should be a day we hear good news, please God. Our hostages should be brought home, our soldiers should have a sweeping victory and return to their families, and Klal Yisrael should hear only Besoros Tovos. It's great to be back together again to continue to explore the Parsha. Hope everyone had a beautiful, wonderful, uplifting and meaningful Pesach. I want to begin, as we always do, with our attitude of gratitude and thank our incredibly generous Parsha series sponsors for the year, our dear friends Becky and Avi Katz and family, in memory of Becky's father, our learning is Nishmas David Grossman, David Ben Menachem Manish. This morning's shir is also sponsored by Myrna Hirschhorn in commemoration of the fourth yahrzeit of her beloved husband Marvin. We remember him very, very well. He's an incredibly active member, an exemplary member of our community, and by Elie and Amy Buzaglo in memory of his dear mother, Masuda Bat Shlomo, whose neshama should have an aliyah as well. This week we have the privilege of learning and reading Parshas Kedoshim together. We are in the Art Scroll Chumash, page 656. By Daber Hashem Moshe Lemor, God spoke to Moshe, saying, see, we already did the first pasuk. We're moving right along. That's the easiest pasuk. The second pasuk of the Parsha, we could spend not an hour, and not 10 hours or 100 hours, we could spend 100 days straight just exploring the opening pasuk of our Parsha. Daber ko adas b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alayhim. Speak to the adas, the eda, the collective, the congregation, the gathering, the assembly of the Jewish people. V'amarta alayhim. And this is what you should tell them. Kedoshim tiyu. Be holy. Why? Why should you be holy? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I'm holy. You should be holy. I'm holy. Vayter. Let's move on. There's only one problem. What is holy? Holy is not a Jewish word. I don't want to say the Art Scroll or any of the translations are wrong, but they're wrong. It's not a Jewish word. Holy is really a Catholic or Christian word. What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be holy? We've explored this many, many times in the past, but I want to share with you many new interpretations today, this year. You could listen to the previous year's Shiurim. Rashi and the Ramban, Prushim to you, be separate, be apart, be distinct, be different, to separate and to elevate. Kedoshim, holiness. A Jew lives for holiness, a Jew does not live for happiness. We live in a world where everyone's living for happiness. And you know what they are? Unhappy and unholy. We Jews live not for happiness, but we live for holiness. And you know what happens when you live for holiness? You're both holy and you're happy. You find meaning and you find purpose and you tap into the essence of existence and of creation. So we live for holiness. We need to define, therefore, what is holiness and what is it that we are, what is it that we are living for? So we have many interpretations. The Amaros Tahoros, the Helig Arach Mishrivka, Zuchus Yagin Alenu, who passed away last year, he quotes from many. Begins with the Moor Einayim, the Chernobyl Rebbe. And the Moor Einayim, the Chernobyl Rebbe says, HaTorah Mevaseres Lanu B'zeh Asher Kol Ish Yisrael Asad Liya Kadosh. The Torah here in formulating this mandate, this obligation of be holy, does so in an interesting way. Kedoshim Tihiyu. What is the word Tihiyu? What tense is Tihiyu? Past, present, or future? It's future. Now we read it, I've always read it, Kedoshim Tihiyu is a obligation. It is a responsibility. It's a mission statement. Be holy. Be holy in what you look at and how you speak and how you conduct your business, in your interpersonal, in how you relate to God and how you relate to yourself, in your own self-worth and self-dignity. Strive for, be disciplined and sovereign, live for holiness. It is a prescription for life. But that's not how the Moor Einayim and many others, many other tzaddikim read it. They read it that Kol Ish Yisrael Asad Li HaKadosh, know that every Yid, every Jew in the future will be holy. Don't give up on any Jew. Inside every Yid is a spark of holiness and sanctity. Inside every Jew is a piece of the Almighty Himself. That's what the pasuk is telling us. Kedoshim tiyu. Every one of you will be holy. Aye, right now, maybe somebody's living a very unholy existence in life. Maybe right now they're not observing, they're not living, they're not practicing. Maybe they're caught up in, maybe they're pursuing, maybe they're distracted by, maybe they're indulging in animal impulse and instinct, immoral and ethical behavior. How can you say with confidence, how can you declare with such clarity, Kedoshim to you, that every Jew has within them the ability and they will be able to express and realize and manifest their holiness? How can you say that? From where do you get that confidence? Says the Moor Einayim, keep reading. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. God says, I'm holy. I'm the essence, I'm the source of all holiness. And there's a piece of me in every one of you. Kol Yisrael yesh lo neshama shechilek elokoi mimal mamish. Memeluhu vadei b'chlal ha-kadusha v'vadei asa liyot kadosh. There's a piece of Hashem inside every one of us. And where there's that piece of Hashem inside every one of us, it means every one of us is that Tzelem Elokim. We have a chelek alakam yimal mamash. We are a unique and distinct, a singular manifestation, expression of Hashem in this world. And therefore, when we tap into that, when we realize that, when we express that, that is holiness because Hashem is holy. So every yid is a big tzaddik from his kepala to his fitzalach. Every Jew is a real tzaddik. Every Jew has within them. And maybe right now they're not living like such a tzaddik or tzaddikas. Maybe right now they're not observing or practicing or living up to that aspiration, not living up to that capability or capacity. That's okay. That's because there's a ruach shtus. Somehow there's a distraction. Somehow they've been swayed. Somehow they've been tempted. Somehow there's stress. But inside, there's that possibility. Aderach zekasav reo kadosh mitolam. The Tolam of the Kilos David says similarly, Kedoshim tiyu b'lashon sivui lo amar, ela kedoshim tiyu lashon havtacha. Hashem here is not giving a command. This is an entirely new reading of the opening of our parsha. Different than anything I had heard before. Kedoshim tiyu is not a command. Kedoshim tiyu is a promise. It's a promise. Kizui be'emes havtacha shesov kosov yekol Yisrael kedoshim v'lo yidach mimenu nidach. There's nobody who we will have lost. Don't give up on any Jew. What an important message. No matter how far someone has strayed, no matter how distant they are, no matter their life or the lifestyle they're leading, no matter how confused or how they think they're not confused and how much clarity they have about why Judaism is not for them, don't give up on any Jew. There's a tzelem elokim achelik lekab mimal mamish. Kedoshim tiyu. Believe in the promise of Hashem that every yid's a big tzaddik. That there's a spark of holiness in every Jew. That they are redeemable. That there is a brighter future. That our best is yet to come. Ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem. This is not a commandment or a commandment alone. It's a haftacha. It is a promise. It is a promise. It's fascinating conversations happening online now of a whole segment of the Jewish world. And that's not the purpose of the Parsha class, I won't get into it. But a whole segment of the Jewish world whose ideologies and whose whole Jewish identity and religious expression were intertwined with movements that today are the biggest threat, most vocal and vociferous, disgusting opposition to Jewish existence. So one wakes up and looks in the mirror and says, so who am I and what am I? If this is what I worshipped and what I was taught and who I aligned with and who I marched with arm in arm, and they're now marching against me and my existence of my people, so what's left? Who am I? One such young lady wrote on Twitter the other day, she described herself as hashkafically homeless, that she grew up in a certain denomination, which she now feels is had malpractice against her, what it taught her and the direction it sent her in. And she's not comfortable either in Orthodoxy. She's hashkafically homeless. It breaks your heart, but there's a search, there's a yearning that's taking place. There's an awakening in the Jewish people. Much of it tragic and sad, but also filled with opportunity. What will it be filled with? And that's what the Torah is telling us, Kedoshim to you. Nobody's lost. No one's irredeemable. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Kedoshim to you. Know that every Jew has within them the possibility and that promise of Kedusha, of holiness and of sanctity. Why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because as long as they maintain the godliness in them, there is hope and there is possibility. There's hope, there's possibility. We gave a shir, we spoke on the eighth day of Pesach about whether a person is irredeemable. Can one forfeit and lose their Tzelem Elokim? Sinwar, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro, Hamas, and Hamas supporters and sympathizers and on campuses and in Congress and all over the world. Can a person perpetrate such evil and support such evil in such a way that they lose their Tzelem Elokim? And I brought many, many, many sources that say yes, that a person, there's such an evil, such a line that one crosses. I'm not talking about the average person gossip. They said Lashon Hara, now they have no Tzelem Elokim. But there is such evil which a person, all they're left with is their animal soul. They're an animal, a savage animal. They use their free will to make such a choice that forfeited and lost their Tzelem Elokim. Could lose your Tzelem Elokim. Rav Soloveitchik, for example, describes Hitler, Yimach Shemo, the Nazis that were taken over by a satanic, demonic. They lost their godliness. They were animals in the guise of men. And that's what these Hamas, horrific, the images, which we shouldn't look away from, which the world should watch and see and understand our moral responsibility to rid the world and purge the world in Rafah and everywhere Hamas are found, should see that these are animals in the guise of men. That's not to insult animals, which it is an insult to animals, to compare them to animals. But it is to recognize our responsibility to not tolerate the presence or the influence or impact of people who've lost their Tzelem Elokim altogether. They made a choice, they expressed their free will in such a way to lose. But that's not Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, Kedoshim to you. Not a tzivui, but a haftacha, a promise. Kedoshim to you. Ha'emes yishakol yishisrael b'asher usham, hinu b'chalal kedusha, every Jew, wherever they are, however they're living, whatever their lifestyle, however they present themselves, they are b'chalal ha'kedusha. Avzu shenimtza le'eis ata b'shafal ha'madregi, even the one who right now seems so low, so far, so adayin nishar b'kirbo shayachas al ha'kedusha, they still have inside them a connection, an identity with sanctity. Because there is still the innate and natural faith in Hashem. There is this inner knowledge that we have that there is someone and something bigger and higher, that we don't come from nowhere, that there's someone who loves us. And as long as one is connected and intertwined with the Jewish people and the Jewish community, there will be something, some awakening, something will happen that will reintroduce that person to the possibility inside them, to that spark, to that seed, to that sanctity, to that yearning for that holiness, to that promise of Kedoshim to you. How does it come about? Daber kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Where is this not tzivoy haftacha? Where is this not obligation but promise? How was it communicated? Where was it offered? Among kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Hashem said through Moshe, quick, gather, be a community, be unified, have unity. I want to give you a mitzvah. So the Sfarim say, when do we have confidence that in every Jew there's that spark of holiness? How will the seemingly lost be found? How will the irredeemable be redeemed? How will those who are so far come closer? When we are Adas B'nai Yisrael, when we're unified, when we're connected, when we create community that has space and invitation for them too. When a person feels, if my life or my lifestyle or my choices or my appearance or where I'm at is not tolerated or welcome within the observant Torah community, then they'll never come back. They'll never realize that Kedoshim Tiyu promise inside them. But when we are Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, warm and open and welcoming, principled and unapologetic for who we are and for our values and for our halachic principles and our halachic practices, unapologetic, but still sensitive and warm and welcoming. Ba'asher husham, where people are at, there is place for you. And we welcome you and we want you. And we need you because we're incomplete without you. Ki kadosh ani Hashem lokechem. Mach mashiyesh lochem emunah b'kadosh baruch hu alkein tizku chuchem lavolok. You want to be part of our community? You want to connect and focus on what we have in common? You want to be part of loving Hashem and trying to draw close to Him? You want to reach in and reach out and reach up together? There's space. Come, join. Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. We have to make such a community. All of us, not our community. The greater Am Yisrael community has to be such a community that makes such space. That doesn't drive people further away, but invites them to come even closer. Ba'asher husham, where they are at and how they are holding and where and how they are living. That's why Daber Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. That's why Kedoshim Tiyu, this haftacha, this not sivoy, not command, but this haftacha, this promise is offered when we are Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. All that is number one. Number two, the Toldos Yitzchak, the Rachmas Rivka now quotes the Toldos Yitzchak. Tevas Kedoshim Yesh LaShlosha Perushim. The word Kedusha has three translations. As I've said, we've referenced some of these in the past, but we will invoke them again because of a new interpretation. Kedusha Kamashmo, the first is holiness, be sacred, be holy, be higher. Beis Lashon Prishus, Kamash Beresh Rashi, Prushim to you. The second is Prushim, be separate, be distinct, be apart. Don't dive into food, don't dive into drink, don't dive into physical materialism, don't dive into intimacy. Enjoy it, experience it, but with sanctity, separate, different, apart. So we enjoy wonderful delicacy and delicious food, which just came off of Yontif. We can enjoy a little less food. But we do, it's kosher. We make a bracha before and after. We separate meat and milk. We do so with dignity and with separateness. We enjoy in the ksuba obligation, in the marital obligation of a husband and wife, is the obligation and commitment to provide physical intimacy and pleasure. So we don't say, look, you want to get married, I'm striving for holiness, which means we'll only be intimate when we have to have children. And other than that, we want to be holy. Judaism says, nice try, that's not what's in the ksuba. You're obligated, you have a commitment, you have an obligation. Gemara brings down different professions, different vocations, different frequencies, different complicated. But there's an obligation. The act is not only one that leads to procreation, there's a pleasure component to it, and an obligation to provide pleasure as part of it. But how do we do it? In the context of marriage, with a commitment and a bond in the right time of the month, after Taras HaMishpacha, with a sense of Kedusha and Tahara, holiness and sanctity. So Prushim, separate and apart. The Rambam's Mishnah Torah, the Rambam's codification of Jewish law, his encyclopedia of Jewish law, which he did before word processors and computers and search engines, while he was a full-time physician for the Sultan. What the Rambam compiled just in his Mishnah Torah is mind-boggling in the circumstances in which he did it. Often having to flee for his life at one point from persecution. Mind-boggling. Maybe even undergoing a forced conversion. Mind-boggling. The Rambam is in Mishnah Torah. In his encyclopedia, he calls the Yad HaChazaka. It's made up of 14 books. It's an encyclopedia divided into 14 volumes, categories of Jewish law. And one of the volumes, one of the books is called Kedusha. And what appears in the volume called Kedusha? What do you think would appear in the volume of Jewish law called Kedusha? What laws? Certainly Yom Kippur. What other laws would you put in there? Maybe Shabbos. You know what laws appear in there? Eating. The laws of intimacy, sexuality, interpersonal, intimate relationships. That's in Kedusha, that's in holiness, that's in sanctity. Yeah, because that's holiness and that's sanctity. To engage those physical experiences, but in a way that's separate and apart and elevated, and that's holy. Kedoshim to you. That's why, what do we call marriage? Kiddushin. Harei at mikudesh esli. B'taba'azu. The chasen turns to the kali, puts a ring on her finger, and he says, with this ring, you are mikudesh esli. What does that mean, mikudesh esli? You are holy to me. You are holy to me. What is he holy to me? You're hereby holy to me. What is, he's making her holy, she's making him holy. Believe me, she's making him holier. I don't know how much holier he's making her. She's going to make him holier. So what does it mean, mikudeshesli? You know what it means? You are separate and apart. Till now, the shadchanim could go to town. You were eligible on the market for anyone. But now that we're married, you're mikudeshesli, prushim, separate and apart to me. You're forbidden to anyone else. That's the second interpretation. Gimel lashon hachana v'hazmana. The third definition of the word kedusha, for example, in Shmos, in anticipation and getting ready for Har Sinai for Matan Torah, Torah says, V'kidashtam hayom machar, prepare, get ready, sanctify yourselves today and tomorrow. V'kidashtam also means to prepare, to get ready. So are these three separate definitions? Or are they all somehow one? Ki b'tchil tzrichin lifrash mikol amido, so they're really all one. Says the Toldos Yitzchak, because kol ha'pirushim mekusharim v'tuliyim b'zeh b'zeh, all of them are intertwined. First, you have to separate yourself from all bad midos. Don't speak lashon hara, gossip, and rechila, slander, udvarim b'teilim chas v'shalom. V'haydekein efshel asos hachana, ruya lios, v'muchanim v'zman l'kabal hashpas, ha'kedusha me'is ha'kadosh baruch hu. So, separate yourself. Through that, you'll be prepared to then live holy. All three definitions are really one and the same. Svarim all point out, Parsha Zuba Hakel Nemra, as we mentioned, the Eitzel HaGil HaKadusha, how can you become holy? Ayde Achtus V'Reyes. You might have thought, why is the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you Dafke given? How? I'll call Adas B'nei Yisrael. Only when you're all united together and as one. I would have thought, you want to be holy. If I want to be holy, I'm going to separate. I'm going to be apart. Let me go to the corner of the room. Let me go live in some secluded space. I don't want to see anything unholy. I don't want anyone to speak to me and I'm going to end up gossiping or slandering. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to engage in anything that's going to compromise my holiness. I would think that the path to holiness is by isolation. Living alone, that's how I'll be holy. In other religions, that's what they do. They retreat. Celibacy, vows of abstinence, vows of silence, living in communes, living apart and separate. Hashem says, I want you to be holy. But you know how you can be holy? You can't be holy if you're apart. You can only be holy when you're part of the community, connected to community, when you're congregating with community, when you're united with community. I don't care how you're living. You're never seeing the image. You're never wasting time. You're never speaking negatively because you're not speaking to anyone at all. If you're doing that, you may check a lot of boxes, but that's not holy. The sum total, it all doesn't add up to holy. You can't be holy if you're not part of Adas Kol B'nai Yisrael. If you're not part of a community, unity, unified, then you're not. Then you're not part of holiness. You're not living with holiness. Okay? That is to begin. Now we move over to the Lavos Esher of Druk. The Heligar of Druk also talks about Kedoshim Tiyu. And it begins with the Medrash Pliya, Dover Acher Kedoshim Tiyu. The Medrash says, Medrash Rabbah, Hadu Dichsalev, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. We say a pasuk from Telem Perek Chof, Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara. We've been saying it with a lot of extra kavana these days. Hashem, answer us in our time of crisis. Perek Chof, say it every morning. And in there we have the pasuk, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. Send your help from your holiness, from your sanctity. So the Medrash is mufla. The Medrash connects the two and says, Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. Hashem, send your help from your holiness. What does one thing have to do with the other? Just because both use the word holy, two psukim use the word holy, somehow we connect them? What's the connection between the two? Nir Latzia Bir. So says Rav Druk the following. Hinei, person could say to themselves, be holy? How? Have you driven down I-95? Have you looked at the billboards today? Have you stepped outside and seen the way people dress? Have you engaged technology in any way with its temptations, even with filters, the challenges? Are you living a life today of the financial pressure that we have and the invitation to cut corners, to cheat, to be dishonest? Do you know how difficult it is to get through a day and not share the juiciest lashon hara that you have, the greatest commodity socially? It's hard to live a life of holiness. It's very hard to guard your eyes and guard your tongue and guard your bris. So much guarding, so much guard duty. It's hard to be on guard all day. It's exhausting. You just want to live free. Indulge every impulse, every instinct. To not indulge every impulse and instinct, to be on guard of every component of who you are, to be ever mindful and present in everything you say and listen to and look at and do and every choice. It's incredibly, incredibly difficult, incredibly, incredibly hard. And moreover, the Medrash says, Yochel kamoni, you might think you could be holy like I am, says God. Tamud lomar ki kadosh ani, kidushasi lemalami kidushaschem. No. You could be holy similar, but not like me. Because my holiness is greater than yours. Nitan la'gil adargus gilish ha'kedusha. I have to get to such a high level of kedusha. I might have gotten confused. I can be holy like God. That's how holy I have to be? Such holiness is even attainable, is possible? How? It's beyond me. How? Okay. Meshiv la'kedush baruch hu yishlach ezrecha mikodesh. I'm going to send you help in your quest, in your yearning. In your ambition and aspiration for holiness, you know where you will draw help from? You know what will be the engine that will power you towards that holiness? Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. From my holiness, says God. Ata tasa mitzidcha pu'ula ketana, kodesh baruch hu kvar yishlach ez ezra so. Yitain lecha ezra min ha-shamayim v'yekadesh oscha, hu kvar yatil alecha es ha-kedusha. Hashem says, you take a little step and I will meet you far away. You do a little bit, show a little gesture. Look away. There was the image you could have gazed at, you could have looked at. The thing you could have said, but you held your tongue. There was the act you could have done, but you didn't do it. You do a little bit, and I'm going to help you so much, Hashem. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. But the first step is you have to live for holiness, not happiness. There are a lot of observant Jews who are living for happiness, not holiness. They check a lot of boxes. Made a tamini, went to Daf Yomi. I give my tzedakah. I say my tehillim. I do my Shabbos. I did my yontif. I spent my $1 billion on hand shmura matzah. Check, 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 check. Can send my kids to Jewish school. Send my kids to Jewish camp. Check, 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 check. But now, when it comes to how do I speak and what do I look at, and whether bichlal is part of my goal every day, is part of the metric in which I measure my success for a day. Did I strive for holiness today? Between myself and myself, between myself and others, between myself and God. And there are many people who say, no. I check all the other boxes, I did all the other things, but that overarching, that striving for holiness? No. So Hashem says, I need you to just have the ambition. I need you to have the ruts on the will. And if you have the will and the desire, if you want, then at least we'll start. You know, what's true spiritually is true physically. It's true physically. There are people who are not living the healthiest lifestyles. But some who at least acknowledge that and want to do better. So they cut out a little bit. So maybe they fressed and stuffed their face all day, but that last opportunity for that last bite of the last piece of the last helping of the last dessert, they said, you know what? I'm going to leave that on my plate. So Hashem says, okay, at least you're demonstrating that it's on your radar. It's on your radar that living a healthier life is something you should do. So demonstrate something. Show it's on your radar in the least bit. By the way, there was such a thing, the Tainus HaRavid, the great Ravid, the intellectual adversary of the Rambam, who wrote his Hasagos commentary in the Rambam, introduced what's called Tainus HaRavid. Tainus HaRavid is to leave over the last bite of everything you eat. Why? It sounds wasteful to me. It sounds like total baltashkes. You're going to throw out the last bite. So baltashkes is not only when you put food in the garbage, your mouth is also a garbage disposal. And if you don't need to eat that, then your mouth acting as a garbage disposal is no less baltashkes than putting it in the actual garbage. That's number one. There are many people who grew up with survivors and others and the mentality you can't throw any food out. And we understand where that came from, but it created generations with diabetes and heart disease and many other problems. And I don't mean to assign them blame. It's understandable where it came from, a survivor mentality. You can't throw out any food, so you have to eat absolutely everything. But I want to tell you, and I'm not making this up, it appears in Sfarim, that putting something in your mouth when you shouldn't be eating it is as much throwing it in the garbage as putting it in the garbage. It is no less baltashkes. So the Ravid used to leave over the last bite to demonstrate that I'm not eating in a gluttonous way, that I eat to live, I don't live to eat. And how does one demonstrate that? By leaving something over on the plate. Now Ozempic makes that easy. But before that, there was a Tainus HaRavid to leave over that last bite and to not eat it. So why is that meaningful? Why is that meaningful? You know, the person who ate all Pesach, this was me, ate 10 meals a day Pesach, endless amounts of matzah, gluttonous and disgusting, but was such a grace of Kanaker because they walked around the lake once each afternoon. Trust me, that did nothing to offset the quantity of matzah that's still sitting there, the quantity in the stomach. Trust me, it did nothing. But you know what it did do? It demonstrated, I know right now that I'm unhealthy and I want to be healthier. I have an aspiration. I have a vision. I have a hope. I have a wish. I want to want. Hashem says, when it comes to ruchnius, kedusha, when it comes to holiness and sanctity, show me the want. Demonstrate a little bit, a little bit. So you looked at something you shouldn't have looked at all the way, and in the last moment you turned away. Show a little bit. And yishlach ezrecha mikodesh. I will send you help. That's the yachol kamoni. You might think you could be like me. Mekadesh zadeh ino adamos has pulos kashos mitzido. Inlo al rak las pulos katana mitzido. Kodesh Baruch Hu yachol kacho af kamoni. You think Hashem could make us holy even like him? Yachol kamoni. Yachol. Hashem is going to help up so much, you could be kamoni. The Gemara in Erevin says similarly, Daf Nun Gimel. Pischoli Pesach kechudo shel nachat, v'ani eftach lachem Pesach kepischo shel ulam. Hashem says, you create an opening the size of the eye of a needle, and I will make an opening the size of the entrance to Marlin Stadium, to an ulam, to a huge hall. So, Rav Druk quotes his father, the Drash Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Druk Zatzal. The Gemara. Notice it says, Pischuli Pesach Kechudo Shel Nachat. Hashem invites us and asks us, make me an opening as small as the hole of a needle. Vani Archiv Lachem, it should said, I will expand it to be the size of the entrance to Giant Stadium. But it doesn't say that. It says, you make an opening the size of the eye of a needle. Vani Eftach, and I'll make an opening for you the size of the entrance to Grand Central Station. Means that Hashem is not just expanding what we started. Hashem is not just saying, you get started in any measure and I'll make it larger, I'll expand it. He's making something new entirely from a new place.
Because
V'yitachin she'ap edrachim shonos legamrim yosef haderech ba nisa adam v'asa esei shadluso. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to help in ways that don't correspond with your effort. We've shared this in the Amunah Shir many, many times, our Wednesday morning Amunah Shir. We know that we have to do effort, take initiative, and then there's divine providence, intervention, hashkacha. But they don't always correlate. We have to do both, but they don't always overlap. I've referenced many times, I have a brother-in-law who's a lawyer in Israel. And he says, part of a necessary evil of life, of work, is you have to network, you have to drum up business, you have to sell, you have to bring in clients, you have to be a rainmaker, you have to make it rain. So every now and then, he has to make a little more effort to do that, to make sure that if you're not going up, you're going down. He says, inevitably and invariably, every time he does, which in his case, from Israel, could mean trips to America, phone, email, connections, relationships, almost always, business comes in afterwards that has nothing to do with the networking he did. A past client reaches out again, someone else referred him through somebody else. He shows the initiative, and all the ways in which he showed the initiative didn't yield anything, but the results come in from somewhere else. So you might think, well, what's the point of the initiative? Next time I'll just sit back and those results will come from elsewhere. The answer is they absolutely correlate because the one above is putting it all together. And the same thing is true in Ruchnius, in our ambition for Kedusha. So a person says, I'm going to demonstrate in this small way that I'm working on myself, that I want to be healthier, that I live for. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu altogether is going to make an opening somewhere else. Somewhere else. Because he says, that's your ratzon, that's your will. You're demonstrating this dream, this hope, this aspiration. It's on your radar. You care about this and think about this. Good. Now I'm going to open up the world for you. Not only expand what you've started, I'm going to create it differently for you as well. And that's why it's not ani archiv, I'll expand the opening, ani yeftach, I'm going to open up worlds for you. I'm going to open up worlds. Rav Druk goes on more about this, but I want to move on to Parsha. But what an incredible, incredible push and motivation. Kedoshim Tiyu is not a tzivu, it's not a command. It is a promise. There is the possibility for living with holiness. And no matter how much this world is assaulting us with images and opportunities and temptations, it is harder to be holy than it's ever been. Harder to be holy. I think it's harder to be holy today than it was in the middle of Greece. In the worst time of the Olympias and the worship of the body and nudity, because we basically have that again today. It's harder to be holy today. Harder to be holy. A lot of women are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. A lot of men are like, absolutely, tell them. They have no idea. It is harder to be holier today than it's ever been. Don't give up on yourself or on others. That possibility, that promise is inside us. We have to make the gesture. We have to demonstrate the will. We have to want it. We have to want it a little bit. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up worlds to change things around, to introduce us to a new learning, a new chavrusa, to take away a temptation that might have been right in front of us, confronting us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open worlds for us. All we have to do is to begin to want it, to begin to dream it, have it be on our radar as something that we care about at all. Okay, one more. One more, and then we'll get past this opening pasuk. One more from the Lavos Eish. This comes from the Kutzker. Oh. So, in Megillas Esther, it says, "Shar Yehudim Hashem Dinos Hamelach Nikalu VaAmor Al Nafsham VeNoach MeOyvehem VaHarog VeSoneihem." The end of the Megillah, in the ninth parak, in the penultimate parak, the Megillah tells us that the rest of the Jews and the rest of the kingdoms of the king, Nikalu, let them gather VaAmor Al Nafsham and stand for their lives, and then they'll be able to rest from their enemies and kill their enemies. The Kutzker Rebbe says, "Nikalu SheHekilu VaAsvu Kol Ratzono Shalehem." What is it that they gathered, not only physically, but they gathered their ritzonos? What did they do is, they collaborated together. When the Jewish people collaborate, amor al nafsham, there is nothing that can stop us. Nothing that can stop us. You know when we defeat our enemies? When we collaborate and when we combine our efforts and when we unite our strengths. When we are competing, when we are conflicting, when we are criticizing one another, we're done. Mefuzar mefurat, our enemies defeat us. The Kutzker Rebbe redefined, nikalu is the lashon nifal. Nikalu doesn't just mean to gather physically. Nikalu means to collaborate. It means to work together with our strengths. Then, yachad ninatzeach. Nobody can stop us. Leviza Hosev Rebbe Mikatz Farmer Kigotav Adavi Shlafarsh, and the Kutzker Rebbe explained our parsha simile. Parsha Zunemar Bahakel. This parsha was given when we are united. Rakai de Rikus Kolakochas and Nefshim Shal Yisrael Efshel Hagia La Madrega Shem Amlachas Konim VeGoy Kadosh. Nikaluva amod al nafsham. How can we defeat our enemies, be they physically or be they spiritually, when we unite and collaborate, when we combine our skills and our talents and our focus and our will to want to create a certain community? The army can only work together when the paratroopers and the tanks and the engineers and the combat and the intelligence, when they're all uniting. If they're competing, if they're criticizing one another, forget it. It's over. Our enemy will pounce. And the same is true in the army called Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael. We have to recognize and collaborate and stop criticizing and understand the different units that we're made up of and take all of our skills and all of our talents and all of our strengths and use them together, and only that way will we win. Parakeet Tes, Pasuk Tes, Vav. Told you we turned the page. Page 660 in the Art Scroll, Stone Chumash. Parshas Kedoshim is one of our favorite parshios. It is chock full of mitzvahs. It is incredible. What is the common theme? Why does it come in this order? Why the juxtaposition of the psukim? All worth studying. All worth studying. It would take so much time. Parshas Kedoshim is fantastic. And how to decide which psukim to focus on? Again, listen to previous years. We focused on previous ideas. This year we are introducing new ones. Perak Yotes, Pasuk Tes Vav. Lo sasu avo b'mishpat, lo sisa p'nei dav, lo sedar p'nei gadol, b'tzedek tishpot amisecha. Do not commit a perversion of justice. Do not favor the poor. And do not honor the great. With righteousness shall you judge your fellow. Here's an instruction of how to judge. So you might be inclined, if you have too much sympathy, you might be inclined to favor the poor. You know, the poor person maybe did the wrong thing, but nebuch, they're poor, so I'll find in their favor. Or maybe the rich, well, they're rich and I'm so impressed and I want to get in, so I'll find in their favor. You know what that's called? A perversion of justice. It's very hard for judges. Very hard. I've been to court several times on behalf of others for different reasons and in a different context, including sentences. And every time I realize I can never be a judge because I would never be able to sentence anybody. Because you read the letters and you hear the testimony, you look at the people and you see how contrite they are and their regret and their remorse and the promise of how different it will be. It's hard. It's hard to be a judge and say, this is the law and this is the rule and it's justice and justice has to be served, and even with compassion and even with compromise, but there has to be justice. It's hard. I'll tell you something a little controversial that you may not want to hear. From the Torah law, women can't serve as judges. The halacha, women aren't witnesses or judges. And one of the interpretations offered of why is it's absolutely not biased or sexist. The reason is because women, what's the word in Hebrew for mercy? Rachmanus. It's the same word as rechem, which is a womb. A woman who carries and gives birth and nurtures a baby has a more innate inclination, intuition towards mercy. To be a judge, you have to suppress your inclination towards mercy. To a degree, you have to suppress that inclination towards mercy. So there's a feminine natural intuition towards mercy, which a woman is capable of shutting off and expressing a more masculine, objective, cruel, harsh justice. She's capable, but we don't want her to. Because we want her to be an amazing mother and grandmother and compassionate leader in a community who is expressing and motivating the mercy. I said it may make someone happy. But the reality is that we have different gender strengths and we want to promote those and support those and protect those, not confuse those. So that's why there are different roles. So the one with the rechem who practices the rachmanas doesn't serve in the position that needs to dial down Rachmanas to be able to have more din. It's all complicated. So this pasuk here is reminding us of this complication that a person, lo sasu avo b'mishpat, don't do an injustice. Don't think that you're such a kanaker with such Rachmanas that you're going to show mercy, because mercy against one is cruelty to another. So you have to practice justice. Don't show favor to the poor. Don't show favor to the rich. B'tzedek tishpot amisecha. Says Rashi, k'mashma'o. Then Rashi kicks in. It's true not only in the courtroom, it's true in life. With everyone with whom we interact, friend and family member, judge people favorably. There's a mitzvah. Carry out justice. Carry out justice not only in a courtroom, carry out justice in life means judge others favorably. Give the benefit of the doubt. So I want to tell you an amazing Maharal Diskin. It's an incredible Maharal Diskin. We shared this Maharal Diskin at the woman's shiur last Simchas Torah. We gave a shiur on self-care. Is self-care a Jewish concept? Self-care. So Maral Diskin, we share this as a form of self-care. Listen to this Maral Diskin. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Beza Manalev tells us, Laman is Mecha Parshas Nazir LeParshas Sota. Why does the Torah juxtapose the story of the Nazir, the Nazirite, who takes a vow of abstinence, not to drink wine, not to become contaminated, not to cut their hair? Why does that appear right after the story of the Sota, the wayward woman who was disloyal to her husband? Lomar Lacha teaches us, Shekola Roa Sota Bekakula Yazir Atzma Menayayin. Because whoever sees a wayward woman, you see the result, the consequence, what happened to this woman who cheated on her husband, you need to react by striving for greater holiness, by taking a vow to become a nazir. You see from your godel hashpa'asa shal re'iyah, you saw the woman. What was the consequence? What happens to this woman? What's her punishment? She dies a horrific death. Isn't that enough to motivate you not to follow her footsteps? Why do you also have to go overboard now and take a vow? Don't drink wine, don't cut your hair, don't become impure. Isn't it enough that you saw that she died a horrific, graphic, violent death? Isn't that enough? The answer is it's not enough. When you see that a person is capable of something, until now you said, yeah, the Torah has a law, nobody should cheat on their spouse. But nobody would ever do that. Oh, so-and-so did that? That's like a possibility? People do that? That happens? Just seeing that, knowing that, that entering your realm of possibility, now you have to do something to offset that. That which you've now seen, that which now enters your realm of possibility, you need to do something to offset that. You need to take something upon yourself to be different than that. The language of the Gemara was, if you see a sota bekukula, it doesn't mean that you see her in the moment she did the sin. She did so privately, modestly. I mean, she did her immodesty in a modest way. It was behind a closed door. You didn't actually see it. What does it mean you saw it? What means you saw it is that you were exposed to it. You became aware of it. You read about it online. Somebody told you about it at the Shabbos table. Someone whispered it to you at the Kiddush. That was what it means, Haroah. When you become aware, just becoming aware of indecent behavior makes you vulnerable to do the indecent behavior, when it becomes the realm of possibility. So listen to the Maral Diskin says, until now I thought, listen to this Maral Diskin, until now I thought, why should you judge someone else favorably? Because Nebuchadnezzar, maybe you saw them in their worst moment, not their best. Maybe you don't really understand what they're going through. Maybe you're not judging them correctly. You're not judging them favorably. It's how you would have wanted to be judged. So when you see someone doing the wrong thing, judge them favorably. They're coming out of McDonald's. They were using the bathroom. They look like they're talking during davening. They had an emergency, something they had to say. They came late to shul. They were helping a widow. They were helping a single woman who happens to be their wife. Judge them favorably. Judge them favorably. So until now I thought, why should you judge favorably? Because it's a nice thing you're doing for Yenim, for the other person. Says the Maral Diskin, you know why judging them favorably is good for you? You're doing it for you. Because when they did something wrong, you were just judging them favorably. Now you saw someone doing something wrong and you're capable of doing it. But when you judge them favorably, now you didn't see someone doing something wrong. It doesn't make you more likely to do it yourself. It's an amazing Maral Diskin. So be done as Adam Lekaf Schus. Judge others favorably, not for them. Judge others favorably for you. Because when you live a life that you're judging others favorably, then you'll never see anyone doing anything wrong. And you'll be, I can't do anything wrong. I never see anyone else doing anything wrong. Because all I see are people who are doing things right. So this is a form of self-care. One of the ways that you can take care of yourself is to not be exposed to and to not be tempted by and to not think it's in the realm of possibility because you never see anyone doing anything wrong. And how is it you never see anyone doing anything wrong? Because you're always done as kolad l'kaf schos. Anytime someone, no, you benefit of the doubt. You're everyone else's defense attorney. You know who lived that way? The Heiliger of Levi Yitzchak, the Bedichever. The Bedichever always gave the Jewish people the benefit of the doubt. Always. We shared at the Sudas Mashiach, you know, Motzei Pesach. It's borderline embarrassing, Motzei Pesach. The Klal Yisrael are just fresh for 8 days, run out the door and line up around the block because they haven't had chametz to get pizza, to get a bagel, to get a donut. Like they haven't been fed in forever. It's borderline embarrassing. Embarrassing. They should be as excited. We spoke about the Gerer Rosh Hashiva of Shul Alter Shlita said, you should be able to not sleep at night after Motzei Pesach with excitement to put your tefillin on for the first time the next morning after a week of not wearing tefillin, more than you already eat in your first bite of pizza, of chametz. What do? We line up around the block to get chametz on Motzei Pesach, and tefillin, put on, don't put on, whatever. So the Berditchever would have said, Rav Shalalter quotes, the Berditchever would have said, Hashem, look, isn't Am Yisrael amazing? They love pizza and chametz and donuts and bagels so much. They're lined up around the block. And even though they love it so much, for 8 days they didn't eat it for you. That's how the Berditchever would have said. Because that's how the Berditchever lived. Danis kol adon lekaf schos. He didn't see, what a group of oisfars. They can't live without chametz until the next morning. They haven't stopped eating for 8 days and they got to go eat. The Berditchever would have said, look at it. Am Yisrael is amazing. They love chametz so much. And yet, they went 8 days without it just for you. So if you're done, it's adon lekaf schos. If you judge everyone favorably, you never see anyone doing anything wrong. If you never see anyone doing anything wrong, you'll never be tempted to do anything wrong either. Because how could you do anything wrong when no one does anything wrong? You'll never be driven or tempted by it either. So it's not a nice thing you're doing for the other. It is a nice thing we're doing for ourselves. Torah then goes on, one of the laws in our parsha. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke him. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Confront him. Put it on the table. Have a conversation. Give feedback. Offer constructive criticism. And don't bear a sin because of him. Because of him. Because you know who's wrong? You might be right, but you're wrong if you don't resolve it. If you don't share it. If you don't communicate about it. If you don't have a conversation. If you don't have a conversation. Back to the Holy Rachmas Rivka. And he quotes the following here. He quotes the following here. And Hocheach Tochiach. He quotes from the Heilige Tiferes Uzziel. Hocheach Tochiach, why do we have a double language? Amru Chazal, Dvar Mayotzim Alev Nechnasim Alev. The things that leave our heart are received by the other heart the way that it left our heart. Lachen Kashig Al Alev Yishla Hocheach Azul Asal Tarchut Chil Hocheach Atzmo. When you give rebuke or criticism, it only lands the way it was offered, the way it was given. If it's given harshly, if it's given duplicitously, if it's given hypocritically, if it's given judgmentally, if it's given with a holier-than-thou attitude, then it's not going to be received genuinely. But if it's given with love and with connection, in earnest, with care and with concern, and from the heart, then it'll be received that way. So how do you ensure that that happens? Why is there the double language, hocheach, tochiach? Tzarechu tchila lochiach es atzmo, lios atzmo yasher v'tov, az yuchal adaber dvar mayutz min alev, sheyichnesu la'uzan ha'shamea, sheyikab la'dvar mvi'or l'sakin ma'asav. Whatever you're about to offer rebuke about, first check yourself. First look in the mirror. You know, when you point a finger, there are three pointing back at you. When you point a finger at someone, you are always late. You are so obsessed with your technology. You always gossip. You always yell at me. You have no patience. You overspend. You're always late for davening. You always talk during davening. You. Whatever you're about to give rebuke, tochacha about, and you point that finger, there are three pointing back at you. So therefore, says the Tiferes Uzziel, there's the double language. Hocheach, tochiach es amisecha. Hocheach, kama. Rebuke yourself, check yourself. You're good? Now tochiach es amisecha. Also check yourself, why am I sharing this? Why am I giving this feedback and this rebuke? Because I caught him? Because it's a dig at him? Because it makes me feel superior to him? Hochiach, first check yourself, rebuke yourself about why you're giving rebuke. And then, hochiach, then tochiach es amisecha. First check yourself why you're giving a rebuke, and only then can you give rebuke. Because if you're giving the feedback and the criticism, because you care, because you love, because you want to uplift, you want to support, you want to strengthen, then you should give it. But if you're giving it because it makes you feel better about yourself, superior to the other, then keep your mouth closed. Then you're not in a position to be giving rebuke to anyone else. So first, hocheach, first check yourself. First of all, are you good at whatever you're about to give rebuke about? Number one. And number two, why? What's motivating you to give this rebuke? Hocheach, first check yourself. And only when it checks out, then are you in a position to tochiach es amisecha. Es amisecha. And then lo sisa alav chait. Then lo sisa alav chait. Why does it say, achicha? Rav Druk wonders. We haven't gotten past yet the Amaras Taharos and Mahalazesh. We got to expand our repertoire over here today. Why does it say Achicha? So Rav Druk says, you know why it says Achicha? For this very reason. If you're coming to rebuke him because he's your enemy, then keep your mouth closed. It has to be your brother. How do you not hate the person in your heart? By making him into your brother. Make him into your brother. Make him into your brother. When the person is your brother, then it's genuine. He doesn't quote this, but we've shared before that when Yaakov Avinu comes up to the shepherds at the well, and they're sitting around wasting their employer's money because the day is not over, and they're just sitting there. And he walks up and he says, "Hey, Achai, hey, brothers, what's going on? It's not calling time. It's not quitting time. Why are you just sitting here?" And they say, "Oh, you know, you're right. We should get to work." And they respond positively and favorably. And the commentaries wonder, why are they responding favorably? Why are they responding positively? This absolute stranger, holier than thou, no one asked him, walks up and gives him rebuke and criticism from nowhere. Who is he? Why don't they punch him in the nose? What are they doing? You know why? Because first he says, "Achai, hey brothers, what's going on? What's your name? Where are you from? What's happening? Did you see the Knicks game last night? Did you hear about the Yankee season so far? You following what's going on with this, that, or the other? You know, guys, I'm not sure it's quitting time yet. Maybe we should get back to work." When a person feels it's coming from a position of achai, achicha, when someone's your brother, "I care about you, I love you, I want the best for you. This is about raising all of us. Tell me what I could work on. I'm sharing something you could work on." Then they respond well, positively and favorably. But when it's coming from a position of an enemy, of the other, of catching me, of feeling superior, then everyone shuts down. Nobody's interested in hearing it. Perek Yotes, Pasuk Yudches. One of the most famous psukim in the Torah. L'sikam l'sitor, espenei amecha. Don't take revenge against your members of your nation. V'yahavta l'orech kamocha, ani Hashem. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, this we spoke about a million times. So, don't l'sikam l'sitor. Sefer HaChinuch writes the following. Sefer HaChinuch mitzvah Resh Mem Aleph. Resh Mem Aleph. 241 writes the following: Mishar Shem Mitzvah. Why is the Torah against revenge? It's a separate topic, because in our davening we describe God as a vengeful God. God's allowed to take revenge. We ask God, Kel Nekamos Hashem, right now, God, go take revenge against Sinwar, against Hamas, against all those enemies, against everyone on campus, against who's protesting, against. Go take revenge. Go show them his boss. Go do your thing. But we are forbidden to take revenge. So it's a separate topic. What is the Jewish approach to revenge? How do we understand that? Where do we fit that in? Why, for God, yes, for us, no. But the Torah here tells us, losikam losito, don't take revenge. And there are two forms of revenge. Losikam losito. One form of revenge is, I went to my neighbor and I said, "Can I borrow your lawnmower?" And he said, "No." Then he came to me and he said, "Can I borrow your chainsaw?" Say, "You didn't let me borrow your lawnmower." "No, taking revenge." Torah says you can't do that. Losito is, I say, "Unlike you who didn't lend me the lawnmower, absolutely, use my chainsaw, because I'm much better than you." That's lositor. Don't not do the act out of revenge, and don't do the act, but remind the person and invoke what they did to you. So the Sefer HaChinuch wonders, why? What is the reason? What is the nature behind this prohibition of losikam lositor? Why is revenge forbidden? Listen to what he says. This is amazing. And this, for me, is amazingly strengthened. This helped get me through some difficult, challenging times in my career and my life. Sheyeda adam yitein alibo ki kol asher yakru mitov ad ra, husiba shetavo alav be'es Hashem baruch hu. Whatever happens to you in life comes from above, comes from the Almighty, for good or for bad. Umiyad ha'adam miyad ish achiv lo yadavar bilti ratan Hashem baruch hu. Another person couldn't do anything unless Hashem willed it and wanted it, unless Hashem allowed it. Al ken kesh yitzareyu o yachi veyu adam. Yeda benafsha o ki avonos of garmu, vashem gazar alav, bekach, velo yashes machshevos of limkom imenu, ki u eno sibas raaso, ki avonu mesoviv. So when something bad happens, somebody hit your car, somebody stole money, somebody punched you in the face, somebody wrote something nasty about you online, somebody hung posters about you outside their house, somebody did something harsh, hurtful, someone injured you materially or emotionally, and you're tempted to lash out, and you want to take revenge, and you want to show them your fury, says the Sefer HaChinuch, take a deep breath and pause and recognize whatever happened came from Hashem. For whatever reason you needed to experience, Hashem determined this is what's right for you. Now, should you hold the other person accountable? Yes. Torah doesn't say don't hold him accountable. He damaged your car, go to Beis Din and recover. have him compensate the damages. He embarrassed you. According to the Torah, there are damages. If there are damages, you could recover the damages, but you can never take revenge. Why can't you take revenge? Because revenge would imply that he alone, she alone, the other party alone caused this. So you're going to get even. You're going to take revenge. But realize, this is from Hashem. Now Hashem, harbei shluchim lamakom. Hashem could have brought it about through many means. It came about through that party. Be compensated. Hold the other party accountable. But ultimately it comes from Hashem. We learn this from David HaMelech. Hanichu levikalo ki amar lo Hashem. Tala ini b'cheto v'lo b'shemi ben geira. Shimon Begir was cursing out David HaMelech. He said, don't take his head. This is from Hashem that I have to undergo this and hear this and absorb this. And don't therefore hold him responsible. David HaMelech is our role model in this. So therefore, revenge is really a lesson in, an exercise in, emunah. If you live with and you feel the presence of Hashem in your life and you know that everything that happens is from Him, then you'll realize, I'm not going to channel my anger against the person. Instead, I'm going to reflect, what is this meant to teach me? What am I meant to take away from this? Am I going to, go on vacation with that person? No. Will they be my best friend? Absolutely not. If they injured me materially, should I be compensated? 100%. But my emotional energy won't be directed towards them, because really what happened came from Hashem. They were just the shliach. They were just the shliach. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, that is what's going on behind this mitzvah. The Mashgiach Rav Don Segel, Shlita, points out from the Schinach that all these psukim, lo sisna, lo sisa lo vcheit, lo sikam, lo sitor, v'yartar lecha kamocha, al lecha laro cheshbonos ma'asu lecha, v'ad kam areo lecha. Lama? Ki ani Hashem. This series of psukim all end ani Hashem. Why? Lo sisna sachicha, don't hate him, hocheach tochi, lo sisa lo vcheit, lo sikam, lo sitor, v'yartar ani Hashem. Why does the series of psukim all end I am Hashem? Because what Hashem is telling you is, if you want to have the most harmony in your life, if you want to have the best interpersonal, social experience in this world, live with emunah. Emunah, it's a message for tomorrow morning, for the emunah shir. Emunah will make you the most popular, most social, most harmonious, most peaceful, most happy person. Why? Because you're not filled with anger, resentment, forbissin, and misery. I don't talk to this one, I'm angry at that one. I can't be seated next to this one. Don't invite me the same Shabbos as that one. Don't put me at the simcha, the table with this one. Don't. Why? Because ani Hashem. If everything's Hashem, then you say, yes, I don't have to be best friends with that. Yes, that person injured me. I'm going to be compensated and made whole. But it's all from Hashem. So I'm happy and I have harmony and there's peace. Because ani Hashem. If you live with emunah, you have harmony with all. And that's why these psukim end with ani Hashem. Ani Hashem. V'yahavta lorecha kamocha. The author of Slabodka says, kamocha. Through the years, we've shared many interpretations. Sfasem, so many interpretations. This is a new one. The author of Slabodka says, new for me. The author of Slabodka says, what does it mean, love your neighbor as yourself, kamocha? Kamocha means, we do things for one of two reasons. Sometimes we do something because it's a mitzvah. Really, I don't want to be doing it, but it's a mitzvah, so I have to. And other times, it's a mitzvah, but I really want to do it. So I'm doing it. It happens to be, it's also a mitzvah. Why do we love ourselves? We love ourselves. We take good care of ourselves. We give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. We pamper ourselves. We love ourselves. Why do we love ourselves? Because it's a mitzvah? Because the Torah says to do it? No. Because we naturally love ourselves. So if you have to l'reicha, when you have to love your neighbor, kamocha. Don't just love them because it's a mitzvah. Love them the same way you so easily loved yourself, whether it's a mitzvah or not. That's how the author of Slabodka understands kamocha. Kamocha means don't do it just because it's a mitzvah. Just like you don't love yourself only because it's a mitzvah. Love them the way love you that comes so easily, not just because it is a mitzvah. There's a beautiful lavosation on this also, but we are running out of time. It's a klal gadol b'Torah. Why is it a klal gadol? Why is this the core principle in the Torah? What should we end with? We'll end with Bnei Seva Takum. I had some old Otzer Plus HaTorah I wanted to get into. Orla. You can't eat fruit the first 3 years. This is the makor for those who have the minhag of an upsharon. You don't cut the boy's hair the first 3 years. Just like the fruit of the tree, you don't cut the first 3 years. That's when we first put a yarmulke. That's when we first teach the Aleph Beis. And that's when we first teach Uncle Moshe. What do we teach? We put the tzitzis on them and we teach them to say, what do we teach them to say? No? You all haven't made up sharons in a long time. A lot of help you are. Anyway, but we don't have time to go through this. Very interesting. But Bnei Seva Tokum. Let's just end with Bnei Seva Tokum. Perek Yutes Pasuk Lamed Beis. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe Akilas Yaakov. What's the matter with you people? Perek Yutes Pasuk Lamed Beis. Page 664. In the presence of an old person, you should rise. You should honor the presence of a sage, and you should reveal your God, Ani Hashem. Bnei Seva Tokum. The Otzer Plaus HaTorah, wonderful sefer that we spent a lot of time on last year, the last couple of years, but we didn't get to some of this. Bnei Seva Tokum. Here's the whole idea. How do you define this Seva? Bnei Seva Tokum. Standing up for the Seva. So this Bnei Seva Tokum is, what if you have a young person whose hair prematurely turned white? Someone young like me. You haven't reached the age of zikna, of seva. You're 49 years old, but the job made you white at a young age. So do you qualify for bnei seva tokum? Is the seva defined by age or by appearance? One interesting thing. Gershon is skayer b'ziknuso. So we know the halacha is gershon is skayer kakot and shenola dummy. A convert is as if they're born again. So an 85-year-old converts. Do you not have to get up for him because he's only one day old? He's 1 year old? Or do you count in determining his age that you have to stand for him, even the years that preceded the conversion? How do you calculate? Believe it or not, the Sho'ol HaMeshiv and the Yad Sho'ol had a suffix about the Shaila. Gershon Eskari Kekot and Shenola Dami, when does the clock start on calculating Mibnei Seva Tokum for them? Fascinating, different insights into Mibnei Seva Tokum. You have to stand. Only time I ever see this halacha followed is, when do you ever see this halacha followed? Ever? A wedding, the chuppah. When the grandparents walk down the aisle, this new minhag started a couple years ago. Everybody stands for the grandparents when they walk down the aisle. And I say, it's a beautiful thing that we're doing that. You probably shouldn't elbow that same grandparent at the sushi station, at the shmorg, trying to get ahead of him. At the shmorg, you almost killed that grandparent trying to get to the stuffed cabbage, trying to get to the carving, trying to get the charcuterie. Now all of a sudden, the chuppah, everybody stand. It's like calisthenics. You used to just stand for the chasan kala. Now the whole chuppah, you're standing, you're sitting. Baruch Hashem, kenayin are the grandparents, the great-grandparents. They say, it's a beautiful thing that we've adopted observing it there. We should keep it in other contexts too. On the bus in Israel, you stand up and they say, v'tokum. Anyway, at the shmorg, please go ahead. Mipnei seva tokum. V'adarta p'nei zaken. But we'll end with this. The Amar Storos, the Hilig Arach Meshrifka. Quote, Mipnei seva, B'yimei ha-ne'urim kodam higiach ha-lishnos ha-seva, takum la'avodas Hashem Yisbarach, l'snai kehem karo'i, ayidei v'adarta p'nei zaken. Tadar gam ha-shnos ha-zikna, shu gam kein mehudarim. When you're young, in your youth, before you get to the older age, takum, in your youth, with your strength, be committed to live a life of following Hashem, the adarta p'nei zaken, the way that you're honoring your future self, your older self. I wish I knew this makor last Shabbat Shuvah, when our whole Shabbat Shuvah drasha was about your future self. This pasuk is about your future. Mipnei seva takum, v'adarta p'nei zaken. Live for your future self, v'adarta p'nei zaken. Which zaken? Your future self. Don't live with regrets. How can you honor your future self? How can you not look back with regret? If you live your fullest now while you're young, Mipnei Seva Tokum, rise. Rise to the occasion in your youth, and therefore you'll honor your future self when you'll be older, when you are a Zakein. Thank you for coming. Please stay for Tehillim. And Emirat Hashem will have Besoros, Tovos, Yeshuos, Venechamos.